Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter. One day, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then, some men came, carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you. Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home." Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him and his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The Gospel of the Lord.
You may be seated. We'd like to invite the children to come forward for a message and to bless your backpacks. So if you brought them with you, bring them on up. And then I need one of you to bring the picture board over, please. Oh, thank you. Caroline, can you help? Thank you. Come here. Good morning. Good morning. How are you today? Yeah? Well, I wanted to tell you about a couple of different things. So our Dr. Seuss book today is There's a Walk-It in My Pocket.
I have a walk-it in a pocket somewhere.
You have a walk-it in a pocket?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. How many of you have read this book or seen it maybe? Yeah? Yeah? What do you know what it's about? Do you remember? Yeah?
Oh yeah, I've read this before.
Yeah.
It's about a whole bunch of animals hiding in the house.
Yeah, so they're telling you it's a bunch of silly creatures or animals. So he says, "Do you ever have the feeling there's a wasket in your basket?"
No.
Yeah. No, you don't? I don't either. Or a wasit in your closet?
But
it does rhyme. You're right. So he goes through all these funny friends, and mostly, like he says, "I like the Zabel on the table and the Gare under the chair." And these, you have a Zoc behind the clock?
Cool. I think I do. Yeah, this is Zoc.
So these are all really funny little friends he finds, right?
There's not a butterfly in this book.
It's at my bookmark. Can you sit down? The only one I'm really scared of is that bug under the rug.
What bug under the rug?
So he says he's scared of one. But then he says, "The yeps on the steps, they're great fun to have around, and so are many, many other friends that I have found." So I'm wondering, how many of you started school or preschool or daycare this week? Yeah.
First grade.
First grade. Yeah. Good. Preschool. That's wonderful. And were there any new things in the school? And you have a new backpack. Were there any new faces? Five new faces? Yeah, were there any new teachers? Were there any new bus drivers?
Yeah, there was, in third grade, the splitters were gone.
Oh, the splitters were gone. So oh, wow, a mega room. I'm going to have to go see that. I don't know what that means. So, anyway, at school, you might have found new things, right? Were some of them scary at first? Yeah, sometimes meeting new people or having new places or figuring out new things to do can be kind of scary. And but it can also be a gift, because after a while, what do new people become sometimes? They might become friends, right? So my board over here is of our high school youth and the trip they went on, and they're going to talk about it today. But I wanted you to see all the new places and friends that they explored. And I'm showing you that because friendship and connection is such an important part in some of our lives. And sometimes we think that friendship means just who we know super well. But it also means all the people that God brings into our lives, even just for a little while. Our gospel story today was some friends helped their friend who was paralyzed, which means he couldn't walk. And did you hear what they did? They went all the way through the crowd and they...
And Jesus said that they could do miracles too, so they helped him walk.
Yeah, he said, your faith has made you well. So they went through a crowd and they climbed up on a roof and they put a hole in it and they lowered him down. That sounds kind of brave to me. Does that sound brave to you? They must have been really sure that Jesus could help them. And one thing that we learned in El Paso is that we're really sure that God connects us to other people so that we can be a part of their lives and figure out how to show them Jesus' love. And I want you to know that when you're in school and learning new things, God is surrounding you and God is with you too. And so we have these backpack tags. They're kind of fun. They say, God's got your back, okay? And you can put it on your backpack. And also, so there's some that are already colored, because some people like that. And then there are some that if you'd rather color it yourself, okay? So we are going to say a prayer of blessing for you. And then I'm going to ask the acolytes to help me pass around these tags, okay? So that you can all have one to take home. All right, so let's pray. Everybody, put your hand on a backpack. And if you don't have one, you're going to imagine your backpack, okay? And pretend it's right in front of you. Are you ready? All right. God of love.
God of love.
Thank you for having our backs.
Thank you for having our backs.
Help us to see new friends.
Help us see new friends.
And old friends.
And old friends.
With your love.
Protect us.
Help us to learn.
Help us to learn.
And be with us.
And be with us.
All of our days in school.
All of our days in school.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for coming up. And let's see. Pastor Michael, can you get this to the acolytes and have them help? So this one is color in yourself. Is that good? Or do you want one that's already colored? You can trade it. We'll put them up on the sacred space. So once you have a tag, go ahead and go back to your seat. Okay? There you go. And Pastor Michael's going to put the box up front here. Perfect.
Can I get one for my brother?
Yes.
Since he's going to start.
And if you need another one, you can take it. If there's anyone else here that wants a tag, you're free to come and get one.
Any adults who want one.
Or high schoolers. Here you go. Did you get one? Okay. All right. on that table. Okay, so now I'm going to invite the high schoolers up, and we're going to see if you can do this. Kind of stand across here and get in the order that you're going to speak while I do the introduction, okay? So if you're VBS, you're on this end. So Russell, you should be first, okay? All right. We'll have them do that for a moment. So there are a lot of reasons to take high school youth and even adults on a service trip. To name a few, it's for the experience of a new place, for the development of friendships among each other and community together, for the opportunity to engage in working and serving in ways that we really wouldn't have the opportunity to do in our own town, and also for developing a sense of knowing God's call or being able to hear that voice in new and different places so that we can answer that call in our own lives. There's also a benefit that we have as a congregation to learn and grow through their experiences and to hear where God perhaps is calling us as well to step out in friendship in new ways. We went to El Paso to serve as well as to lead. We went to learn and risk and push our comforts and our boundaries. So our youth had the opportunity to show the depth of their leadership skills through leading a vacation Bible school, and they're going to say more about that, but I just want to say that they went into that with full love and full energy every day, and I don't know where they got the energy because it wasn't at night, because they weren't sleeping, but that they had the courage and the faith to do that because of what they have learned and developed over the years here with our community and the children and families that are here. So we would do that in the mornings, and then in the afternoon, we would travel to meet new people. We would risk our own assumptions of what something was going to be like and open up to what God had to show us. Plus, we all lived together, and we traveled in hot vans together, and we had to figure out what to eat together. So there are a lot of elements to this. 19 youth and 4 adults shared this experience together, and here is a representation of some of them. These were youth and adults from the 4 ELCA congregations. All of them here today are from ours. So I'm going to let them go ahead and speak about their experience. We have pictures to show, and we'll pause it, and then they'll talk about each part of our time together. Right. So we're going to show the pictures first.
So we went to Peace Lutheran Church in El Paso, Texas, to be able to show kids VBS who had never been a part of VBS program or even church. And what I thought was the best part of VBS was just seeing all the kids from the preschool strive and just learn so much from this program. And I hope for all those kids that were a part of VBS in El Paso to see how much fun and how much learning goes on in going to church. This trip to El Paso impacted me to see kids in a whole different way by seeing God through them and how they act and make new decisions.
Since we're so good at VBS, we provided leadership and ran an amazing program.
All the children were truly wonderful. The kids in Ellie and I's group ranged from 3 to 11. They all seemed to be so happy and being involved and just being there. Everyone had so much fun, and it was amazing to get to know them and see God through them.
Meeting the kids had an impact on my life and my faith because I realized that regardless of our upbringing or where we live, through God, we are all able to come together and learn about each other and from each other. I am extremely grateful for all the people who helped make the El Paso trip a reality. The memories will last a lifetime.
All right, so one of the things we did in El Paso was we visited a refugee house where pregnant women who had just been released from processing centers were sent to go live after, and they would meet up there with their families. But if their families weren't there, they'd be sent to this house, and this house would then like provide food and shelter for them until their families were able to provide them a plane ticket or come pick them up. So one of the stories we learned was these women in the house were mostly all pregnant and had just been out of the processing centers. And they told us like stories about what happened in those processing centers. So these women were forced to stand for a very long time because there wasn't like any room to sit down because of how crowded it was in there. So for like rest, they would have to lean on each other's back. But the thing that impacted me the most was how grateful they were to be here still after what we had just done with them, done like to them. Their country was so overridden with crime and was so dangerous, they were still so happy to be here in America after going through what they went through. And it was just so impactful to see them. Like, a lot of these women knew each other when they were in the processing center. So when they saw each other again, the amount of joy that they had for knowing that these women were okay after spending hard week or weeks with them was just so amazing. And we also visited a lawyer that taught us about how in different cities the level of grant rates changed. So on border cities, the grant rate is way less than the disapproval rate, but in cities that aren't on the border, the approval rate is more than the disapproval rate. So, yeah.
One highlight of my trip was driving into the middle of nowhere to meet a family that lives in a colonia way out in the desert. For those of you that don't know, a colonia is a house in an abandoned neighborhood. Colonias occur when big developers make houses for really cheap but don't put in utilities because of cost. People move into these areas under the impression that stores will be put in and the area will continue to develop, that they will get their promised water and electricity. However, once the people are moved in, the developer gives up on the neighborhood, leaving families without water or electricity. These families are likely newly immigrated and have no other option but to stay. We met with a family that had been stuck in a colonia for about 20 years. They had just recently gotten a manual flushing toilet. The family living there was a family of four, with a mom, dad, and two teenage kids. The mother told their story. Their family was living in the United States illegally when her husband was caught and taken back to Mexico. He attempted to illegally cross to get back to them more than 10 times, never successfully getting to the colonia to see his wife and children. During this time, his wife had to make money by selling tamales on the side of the road, which were really good. We tried them. Every time he was caught, his penalties became more intense. Every time he was caught, he served more detention time and was released farther and farther from the border. After many years and at least a dozen attempts, he got back to his family. I'd always heard stories like this, but they had always seemed just like that, stories. Meeting the people that went through what I'd heard made it a lot more real. And now, from our meeting with a lawyer, I know why families like the one we met in the colonia can't get in illegally. We also met with a lawyer during our week in El Paso. She showed us the struggle of immigrating to this country legally. For most families trying to become legal U.S. citizens, it takes 8 to 12 years. There are many factors that can make it go faster, such as lots of money, a business, family members inside the U.S., or an exceptional talent. Unfortunately, most immigrants that end up crossing over illegally have none of that. Why did they always come without being allowed? I never understood that. But my time in El Paso showed me that for most, waiting to become a legal immigrant isn't really an option. You can't wait 10 plus years to see your family. You need to get them to help them so that they can get out of the colonia they're trapped in. El Paso showed me that we need to fix our immigration system. We need to make it faster, more dependable, and safer.
Okay, well, as you just saw, well, in El Paso, we got a chance to meet with Border Patrol. We got to ask questions, and they told us a lot about their jobs and what they do. They're each given sections of the border that they patrol. Usually they're alone or with one or two other people. They can patrol on horseback, on foot, in helicopters, cars, really everything. 85% of the people trying to cross are just families trying to reunite. Only 15% are actually criminals. Border Patrol don't actually do a lot once they arrest them. They process them, and then, well, they arrest and then process, and then they're sent to ICE to be further dealt with, I guess. Another cool, interesting fact that we learned during this was a lot of immigrants will leave, like, supplies in the desert for others to find, like food and water, and Border Patrol doesn't actually pick this up. They leave it there because they're not trying to hurt people getting in. They're just trying to make them get in legally, if that makes sense. So they actually leave supplies on the border.
Like John was saying, when we went to go visit them, their job is not what you would think of at all. When I was scared to go meet with them at first because I thought that they were going to be these big, tough, manly guys who just want to take the people and go arrest them, but that's definitely not what they were at all. We met them, they're so funny and caring, and they have a really hard job, what they do. But they do it really well, and they do what they have to do to keep it safe over there. They work really long hours in the really hot heat of El Paso. When we were there, it was like 101 degrees. The sun was just blasting on us, and they have to work in that all the time, so many hours a day. They just have such a hard job, and I think that they do a really good job with that. It was really nice to get to meet with them and ask them a bunch of questions about how they do it and what they do.
So I was in charge of talking about Crystal Ray, which is the church that we were staying at during the mission trip. And when we were staying there, they also had a program for kids during the summer. Spending time with these kids was a great experience. On the days that we got to be with them and spend time with them, it was very special. We would play games, read stories, and sing songs, and one day we went to play in the park. The first thing that we did with the kids was reading the stories and playing board games, which was really fun. And it was good that the kids could could speak English and Spanish, because reading those books in Spanish would not be fun. Playing board games with the kids was just as fun. One of the kids even tried to teach me chess, and she was like 5 or 6, but it didn't go good. One of the days when we went to play in the park, it was less than like a block away from the church, and everyone had something to do at the park, and like playing soccer or playing on the playground or playing basketball. And at one point, we decided to start a game of Down by the Banks. And when we were playing that, everyone like got in a circle, and it was the little video that you saw up there. And it was really special because I saw that even though like we all had such different backgrounds, we could all come together and like sit in a circle and play a really simple game. And like it made me see that like even though we have such different backgrounds, we're not that different. And I felt that the two different groups combined to make a whole group showed me that even if someone's going through the hardest of times, that being with somebody and playing the like simplest of games, they can have all the hard times go away. And this year's mission trip really did change my perspective of their community, because I saw that what I believed and thought before of their community was so different than what it actually was.
All right. I also got the pleasure of talking about Cristo Rey. But Cristo Rey was where we slept each night, and we all stayed together. And we had three rooms. So we had a guy's room, a girl's room, and then we had like a co-ed room. And so I was in the co-ed room. There were like 12 of us sleeping on some like air mattresses and stuff. It was pretty great. But we didn't have any adult leaders to wake us up and make us go to sleep. So that didn't go great for sleep. But for getting up, we had the lovely Rob Behrens, who put on a show every morning and would sing songs. And so my favorite part was the fact that I had earplugs and an eye mask, because you would hear everybody groaning about getting up and Rob being loud, and then I would just slowly peel off the eye mask, and then it got down to where I had to say good morning for the song to stop, so I would just wait every morning to listen to the whole thing. But that was great. And then also at Cristo Rey, we would have, we had two speakers come in, and so one of them is right there, and there's Josh, and she was a doctor in Juarez, which was the city right across the border from El Paso. And so she provides like very low cost healthcare for people who need it there because they can't afford things. But then she also provides classes mostly to young girls about like contraception and why that's important. And then Josh got put in a fun analogy about it. You can ask him about it. And Rob made a fun video, too. I can't talk about it in church, though. So, but yeah, staying at Cristo Rey was awesome. And then it affected like my sense of community or sense of their community, because I kind of almost started to compare the two. And I thought about like we kind of get caught up in this almost materialistic way of like things we need for the church. But it was nice to like take a step back and see, oh, they have such a strong, like they have such strong bonds between them and the congregation. I think it's nice to see that that's really important.
Living. All right, so being in a community like we had in El Paso, it was fairly different for me. It was really fun to help people and just see their reactions and how much it changed their lives when we were helping them. And then just being together, like up there in one of the videos, we were waiting at Peace Lutheran because our van broke down. And we just had to wait until we could get a new one so we could actually go and do what we needed to do. And so we were just there hanging out and just enjoying each other's company. And that was one of my favorite times. And I also really liked reading to the kids in the summer program at Cristo Rey and meeting the refugees at the Annunciation House.
Okay. So we just made a great community when we went down to El Paso because all of us here, we wanted to go to El Paso and we wanted to serve their community there. And we just really wanted to help. But then I think we also bonded really well of not only making new friends, but becoming all better friends all together. And so we were normally either playing with the kids at Peace Lutheran or we were listening to a speaker or going somewhere. But we had a lot of van rides, and I think that's where we like bonded the most. We were always talking in the vans. We were always laughing. We were singing something. And we were just always having a really fun time there. And I'd also like to thank all of you because you guys all really helped by donating something to us to help us be able to go down there and have a great experience and learn a ton of new stuff. Thank you.
So the stories that we heard and that you heard part of them today were ones that were sacred and trusted to us to carry back and tell you and tell others. And we're so grateful that you spent time and money and prayers. Everyone here had a prayer partner from this congregation, so they were able to open a prayer every day. And all of that support just makes for a wonderful experience and something that, as you heard, will change our lives and change who we are and change how we see God working in the world. Each day we did focus on scripture, and we would ask the question, what was your God sighting, and how did you see God today? And the common theme that the youth expressed during our trip was the depth of knowing that seeing people, as human, or as friend, instead of as someone other or someone to be afraid of because we don't understand, is the first step in hearing and knowing how God calls us to respond to difficult situations. So our gospel today was about a group of friends that got a man through a roof because they believed so much that he needed to be in the presence of God. So we thank you for taking that risk with the youth and taking that risk to be those who listen and hear these stories and find ways to also show God to the world. Thank you.